Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. For any WBUR fan, you've probably heard these words hundreds of times over the years on our air.
For 90.9 WBUR, I'm David Boeri.
Oh. Well, today, David Boeri is retiring from WBUR. In his 50 years of award-winning journalism in radio and television, David's written books, hosted shows, staked out Boston's most notorious mobsters and camera-shy politicians. From Alaska to the streets of Boston, his dogged reporting has embodied some of the finest public service journalism we've ever read and heard, and we will miss him so much. But David is here, WBUR senior reporter David Boeri. Hello.
Hi, Meghna.
Don't go. Okay. I mean, I don't even know how to begin this conversation, David. I'm feeling a little emotional, but why? You're still going strong. Why are you stepping away from
the
mic? Yeah,
no, there comes a time. It probably was a long time ago on the mileage on the odometer. I mean, it's the tail of my tape is 5 hours a day and 40,000 miles a year commuting, and that is a serious number.
So for people who don't know, you live in Central Massachusetts.
I live in the sticks. Yeah. I live in the sticks by choice, but there are some consequences.
Yeah.
And my orchard requires help. My backyard requires help, and I'm going to be there for a lot of time.
Well, you'll be there for your orchard, New England and the world has been the beneficiaries of your journalism, David. And so I want to take a little trip down memory lane here. There was so much material to choose from, but let's start back with in some of the greatest hits from your days in television. I mean, you worked at Channel 2 and the 10 o'clock news, later on on Channel 5. And we have a moment here of 1989 when you're giving then Representative Barney Frank the Boeri treatment regarding Frank's scandal involving his relationship with Steve Gobi, a male prostitute. So here's some of that tape from you in Frank's office in 1989.
Chet Atkins yesterday said...
Well, you're going way beyond what I said I would be glad to talk about the ethics thing, but I really did not, in fairness to other media, say that I would do a whole new thing on everything.
Do you mind if I ask you about...
Yeah, I do. I think you're imposing. All right, that's enough.
Thanks, Congressman. I didn't think we strayed too far. It wasn't my understanding.
I think you did.
Thanks for your time. I appreciate it.
Okay, so the decency of David Boeri there at the end of the piece as Barney Frank is ripping off his microphone and stepping away.
I've had it. The ripped microphone has a particular sound that I'm well familiar with, but unfortunately, the congressman thought it was inappropriate to ask him a question involving the fact that he had invited a male prostitute into his house, hired him to do errands, and the prostitute was conducting business, although he didn't know it, from his own house. But the question I thought was an appropriate question.
So did I, but Congressman Frank didn't. Okay, so here's another one. Because you marry this decency with doggedness, which I don't think very many people can do, because you mastered the art of the TV news street ambush, if we could call it that. This is from when you were at Channel 5. This is back in 2000, and you're reporting on the associate of Whitey Bulger, Patrick Nee. And his street name?
Patty Kneecaps.
Okay. Here's when you ambush him.
Excuse me, Mr. Nee. Hi. My name is David Boeri. I'm a reporter with Channel 5.
The last time Mr. Nee was arrested, he was outside a bank with an Uzi machine gun loaded with hollow point bullets and waiting for an armored truck. On an FBI secret tape, one accomplice said the plan was to kill the guard and driver. Three guys jump out, ba-boom, ba-boom, take everybody down.
Sir, you know that you've been suspected in the murders of at least three people.
Can I provide some context
Please.
Here? So two things. I was about to say Patty Kneecaps, why not? He had just gotten out of prison. At the time where three sets of remains had been found outside Florian Hall in Dorchester near 93. And those remains had been previously been in Pat Nee's basement. He had dug them in there, and he had dug them out to move them somewhere else. This was at the behest of Bulger and Flemmy. So the idea that that he's just out of prison and these bodies have just been recovered and the whole story is breaking open seemed to call for an interview. normal types of interviews. A conventional interview wasn't appropriate for me here. So I had tailed him for 2 weeks to find out when he emerged from his house. So at 4 o'clock in the morning, I would drive from 12 miles east of San Francisco in my town of Petersham to South Boston to wait to find out when he would leave so that we could set up the interview. This is like Hollywood. There's a big production involved.
Yeah.
The next thing is in hanging out with detectives and investigators and even mobsters, I realized there's an art of the ambush because you have to wait for your target to leave the steps. If you get him between, if the house is there and you're not between him and the steps, he can go back in the house.
Uh-huh.
So for the ambush, you wait for your target to leave. And at a certain point where you can cut off his avenue escape, that's when you come in. And finally, with Pat Nee, knowing how dangerous he was, I knew that I'm right-handed, should not lead with my right hand, which would be thought of as possibly as a gun or a shiv, but my left, and I had a business card in my left hand, and I introduced myself, and I practiced beforehand saying as fast as I could, "Mister, you got to remind me, you kill me, you got to go back to prison." Didn't need it, as it turned out, but I was ready.
Wow. There's so many stories,
David. He deserved the treatment.
Oh, okay. There are so many stories. I was going to just have... Oh, okay, let's just move on to Whitey himself here, okay? Because obviously, you spent years on Bulger's Trail, and here you are on WBUR in June 2011 announcing the big news.
The FBI confirmed late last night that they'd finally caught the fugitive, longtime fugitive Boston mobster.
FBI agents have arrested James Whitey Bulger and his girlfriend Catherine Grieg in California.
Very simple statement. According to this statement, the arrest resulted from a tip the agency says was prompted by publicity. FBI says both Bulger and Grieg are scheduled to appear in the U.S. District Court in downtown Los Angeles today.
I mean, you spent years on this story, chasing them when he was taken into custody.
Yeah.
What'd you think?
Never thought it was going to happen. It did happen. That day was forever memorable to me. It was a surprise, but it came about in the end because the marshals, the U.S. marshals, were allowed into a hunt for a fugitive that was unenthusiastic and incompetent, that had been run by the FBI, who should have never been running it in the first place. They got lucky, though, and they got the U.S. Marshal. They found them through great work, of course, in California. I had been following him for 25 years. I got all kinds of calls over the years. People found me. We've seen him. I had all these different cases of false sightings. One cop had called me, and he said, "I think I saw him. Does he have freckles on his legs?" Nobody ever asked me if Jimmy Bulger had freckles on his legs, but I started accumulating those kinds of details. Does he or doesn't he? I went to the source to find out whether he did or not. I said, "Why do you need to know this?" He said, "Because the guy was wearing shorts. Where'd you see him?" "I saw him at a movie theater." "What were you watching?" "The Departed." I was about to hang up, thinking it was a crank call.
Yeah.
And I thought, no, a guy tells me that he tried to follow him, but in fact, he lost a man who was in his late 70s at the time. I thought, he's probably being truthful. Anyway, he gave me video. I looked at it, couldn't confirm it, said, "Thanks, we'll work on it." Nothing ever happened. The morning after Bulger was arrested, I'm talking to the world. The whole world's circling, you know, just wanting to know these stories. And I got a message on the phone saying, "Hey, David, this is your buddy in San Diego where mob bosses wear shorts." We had the only photo of Bulger that day, and we were credited, and it came from a special sort of guy who I'd been talking to on the phone.
And it went around, that image went around the world. I want to shift gears because, you know, obviously your pursuit of these mobsters was driven by an unrelenting sense of wanting to get to the truth of a story. But you also have this deep and abiding sense of justice, David, which is in all of your stories, most notably in the case of Na Trang, 16-year-old girl who was coerced into a murder confession by Worcester police for her tiny baby who had passed away. You did an amazing series of stories about her. She spent several years in prison. But I want to play a little bit of tape of you talking to her just after she was ultimately released from prison.
I'm sitting across from Na Trong. She's 3 years older now. In the week of her 20th birthday also brings the third anniversary of Kyle's death.
Of course, the tape shows that you told them you smothered Kyle. So why would you confess to committing something that you didn't do?
It was a pretty long 2 hours, and all I heard throughout those 2 hours is that they're going to give me help if I confessed. And so that... I'm sorry.
It's okay. Trong apologizes for breaking down.
Boy.
Yeah.
Trembles in my voice. Even you heard it then, and you can hear it even now. It was a reminder that, you know, prosecutors in this country have more control over life, liberty, and reputation than anybody else in America. And next to prosecutors are cops. And when prosecutors break the rules, and in this case, when cops break the rules by entrapping someone into a psychological torture that results in an untruth leading to charges that would have put her in life prison, it's outrageous. And so, yeah, I was filled with outrage. And I think when I saw that interrogation tape, and we fought for that, we fought and fought and fought, and I'm very proud of WBUR, BU, that provided us with that lawyer so we could challenge it. When we fought and got that tape, yeah, everyone saw for themselves what had happened.
David, will you give me a second just to share a personal thought with you?
Sure.
You have a personality that's larger than life. Your intelligence is explosive and expansive. Your pen is like magic. You're indefatigable. And you are one of the most decent people in heart and soul that I've had the privilege to work with. You helped me with one of my first stories as an environmental reporter about woolly adelgids.
Oh, yeah.
Killing the hemlocks in Massachusetts. And I will miss you day in and day out. But thank you for a body of work that has made us all better citizens, David. Thank you.
Magna, thank you very much.
Sorry, David. I'm Magna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.